Blog Talk Radio
presents the Blog Radio Show.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and I hope you guys are doing great. It's been a while. We were on vacation, and things got crazy, but we're back, and I'm so glad we're kicking off tonight with a special guest. We've got two-time Emmy-nominated actress, producer, director, Lee Purcell tonight, and we are going to talk about her new projects, her old projects, and everything we could get in really quick. So without further ado, everybody, welcome Lee Purcell to the show. Hi, Lee. Thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight.
Joanne, it's my pleasure. I've been really looking forward to it.
Me too. Did you like the intro?
I didn't hear you. What? Banjo?
I said
the intro?
Like,
yes, I loved it. 2001.
Yeah, I know. It always gets me started, too. It gets me excited. So.
I love it. I can see the whatever gorilla throwing the bone in the air, and it's just great.
Oh, God.
I've seen John Williams conduct that. And
oh, really?
Really quite stirring.
Yeah, I know when it plays before an Elvis concert. My hair stands up when it plays before an Elvis concert.
Oh,
I know, really
before
crazy.
An
but...
Elvis? Oh, my God, that played before an Elvis concert?
Oh, yeah, he played all the time. That was his intro music when he came on. It was just the build-up.
I did not know that.
Up.
From 2001.
And then he came on. Yeah, and then he would come out and just blow away the audience. But well, let's talk about you blowing away the audience tonight. So Lee has been in so many of my favorite movies, TV shows. I mean, it's just crazy. The Adam at 6 a.m., that was great.
Thank you.
Classics, too. And Stir Crazy was one of my favorites. And Valley Girl was one of my favorites. Didn't have an anniversary coming up for that? Or did we just pass?
We just had a big anniversary. We just had the 40th, which none of us actually can believe.
Right.
And because it seems impossible. And we had a huge celebration at Grauman's Chinese here.
Oh,
and then
nice.
2 days later, we had a huge celebration at Quentin Tarantino's theater, the New Bev. Different audience. Very different, packed. Both were packed, and they were about, I'm going to guess, about 21 of us there. And, I mean, everybody from... I don't know, from Josie Cotton to, the Valley Girl herself, Deborah Foreman, to me, to Colleen, to just so many of us were there from all different aspects, the director and the producer writer. And it was really incredibly exciting. And we're all like, wow, we're still here. We're still standing. Isn't that a miracle?
Right. Oh, my God. Well, hey, you got to have a reunion. That's great. Oh, my God.
We've actually had several, but that was, 40th is really
the big
really
one,
big.
Yeah. Well, 50 will be the big one. Real. Well, each one gets bigger and bigger, right?
Bigger and bigger. Yeah, and fewer and fewer of us, but we had a really...
The fact that we could even get to an anniversary that high is just unbelievable. So,
it is unbelievable. Shocking, actually.
Yes. Yes. And then, there's so many more movies I could mention that you were in, but you were in a lot of my favorite TV shows, Medical Center, Cannon, Rockford Files. I love that one. The Waltons, Barnaby Jones, all great stuff. My God. Murder, She Wrote.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Now, you're doing now, you've been heavily involved in the Hollywood Radio Players, where you're doing the old-time radio reads of scripts. Like when not me, I'm not old enough to do that. When families sat around the radio to listen to a script being read to them, basically acted out. So how did you get involved in the Hollywood Radio Players?
Well, we created it. My partner and I, my partner Michael Carnegie, my production partner, we produce it. And what we do is we do reenactments, very elaborate, of classic. We never say old time.
Right.
No. We say classic radio plays, and that none of us are actually old enough to remember, except for our 92-year-old member. He remembers because he was actually in radio at the time.
Wow.
And yeah, it's really phenomenal. And
mm-hmm.
So we were we performed with a different group, a different name, prior to pandemic. Really, this whole thing is like a birthed by the pandemic.
Right.
And we performed with this other group, SAG AFTRA Radio Players, which is a union committee, and we performed with that group for a very long time live at various places around Los Angeles. And then the pandemic hit, and then like all theater companies, we were shut down.
Right.
So we were very frustrated, like, what are we going to do? We don't want to quit and mm-hmm. sit around the house, and what? So I had seen a friend of mine was in a very interesting, fun piece on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like ours. Ours is really elaborate. It was very simple, but very funny and witty. It was a supposed group of soap opera actors. They weren't, but that was the story. And I looked at that. And I went, you know, I wonder if we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on Zoom. And so I took it to the group, and we talked about it, and we said, yeah, let's give it a go. And that was 3.5 years ago, and. It was really hard at first because it was a huge learning curve because what we do has never been done before.
Right,
and
right.
There have been other readings and so forth, but not like ours. Ours is, you know, heavily scripted. We use classic scripts. We do music. We do sound effects, special effects.
Yep.
We have full-on costumes. Hats, hair, makeup, I mean, everything. Even though you only see us from the chest up, we do it full on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a really hard learning curve technically because editing Zoom is unlike editing anything else. It's different than editing, say, a three-camera show or a one-camera show. It's really different because it wasn't designed to do what we do. It was designed for corporate.
Right.
meetings, and which became incredibly useful to all of us
mm-hmm.
during the pandemic.
Thank God. Yep, thank God.
Yeah, thank God, because we couldn't function. But what we do, which is act, you know, and perform and reenact these plays,
right.
had never been done before. And so we've had a lot of bumps in the road and a lot of technical challenges because editing Zoom, you edit everything in layers, but Zoom is a different type of layer. I really can't explain it, but it's really hard to edit, really difficult, and it takes a really long time.
Right.
And then you have all the challenges of everyone being in different locations.
Mm-hmm.
And like the show I just directed, which is The Bickersons, it only has a cast of 5, but we had one cast member in New York, one cast member up in Ojai, which is up very far from L.A.,
mm-hmm.
Another one in Orange County. I mean, everybody was like hundreds of miles apart.
Right,
and so it's very difficult. And also that particular show was the first episode of our second season. And so we did a lot of upgrading and a lot of technical improvements. And that show is going to be posted this Friday, called The Bickersons, Hollywood Radio Players.com. And it's a comedy. And it's a really fun piece. I don't know if you're familiar with The Bickersons. It was.
Yes, I am. It's a classic. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a classic. Yeah, it's a total classic. And for those who are listening who are not familiar with it, it's about a couple, the Bickersons, Blanche and John, mm-hmm. and all they did was bicker.
Yep.
And that's where their name comes from. But they also express love for each other. You could. It's written in, you know, that they did love each other and care for each other, but they just fought all the time. And the show was really fascinating because it ran from the 1940s all the way through, starting on radio, all the way through to the original cast members, Don Ameche and Francis Langford, who was a very popular big band singer, into the 1960s.
Oh, wow.
When they did it. Yeah, and they did it on television, not a full-on series, but different episodes and skits.
Yeah.
And whereas on television,
I didn't know it went to the 60s, though. Wow, that's great.
It did. Well, only like, you know, guest spots.
Yeah.
And on various variety shows and so forth. And and I've seen that last episode, which happens to be the show that we did, which is called John's Operation. And John, and it's a comedy. It's over the top, and they fight, they yell at each other, they laugh. I mean, it's really I love the Bickersons. I always wanted to do the Bickersons, and so that will be like I said, posted on Friday, HollywoodRadioPlayers.com, and you just go there and you click, and it takes you to our YouTube channel where all of our shows are archived, and you can see any of the shows you want. And so, but this one's really fun, and it's a short one. We have some that are really long. This one's, I think, about 11 minutes, and all of their shows took place either in the bedroom, because it was always the recurring theme was John's horrible snoring, and we did that with sound effects, and it is truly horrible. And then Blanche's efforts to stop him.
So
in this episode, they're not in their own bedroom, but they're in a hospital room, and he's snoring, and the fight starts. So it's very funny. I'm very proud of it. It turned out really well,
and I
hope people will see it.
Yeah, I have to catch that one, because before I got you on the show, I had to see what one of my favorite movies reenacted by you guys, which started it all, kind of the whole... to me, it kind of started it all, because the one that I knew and remembered growing up was The World War of the Worlds. You guys did that one, and that's one of my favorites. I was always fascinated with that one because my grandmother lived in Newark at the time, and she said they were freaking out. So it's true.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, that was the first one I directed, and talk about taking on, you know, the 800-pound gorilla. You know, that was it. I after I finished directing, I looked on them and go, oh my God, why did I think of that? But I did it because, like you, I loved War of the Worlds.
Yeah,
I loved it. And of course, we were not alive in 1938.
No,
to hear
exactly.
It, you know, on radio. But my grandmother had a vinyl record of it.
Oh,
and
cool.
Yeah, really cool, and I don't know whatever happened to it, but so I got to listen to that, and then I listened to it when it would also replay on various places, right? And then I had the pleasure of working.
Lee, where were you living when you were listening to that as a child, as a young girl?
All over. We moved times.
When you first heard it, what state were you in? Were you on the East Coast, or?
I think I was probably in Dallas.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, because it's you didn't hear it at 1938 anyway. Duh. Sorry.
I definitely did.
No, yeah. I know. I was just wondering when the first time you heard it, like, did you didn't think it was true, right? I mean, obviously.
I didn't know. I think I was too young to even, you know, that's my dog.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take him, put him into another room.
Oh, he's fine.
I didn't think I thought through. You know, being a child, it's just like, oh, this is interesting. And all these people come from Mars. And, you know, I think you had to be a little bit older to actually kind of think, oh, wait a minute, is this true? And and here's the thing, is that we do a lot of research. We heavily research.
Yeah.
And that one, because I was directing it, I did most of the research on that one. And what I learned was a lot of mythology is probably not true, because there are actual facts that make you question it. There's two camps on this in the radio historian world. You know, one is, yeah, it's all true. Everybody ran out into the streets. People were killing themselves out of fear. Millions of people. And then the other people are like, no, it's not true because, you know, we have the ratings. Because at that time, like we have the Nielsen ratings today, they had a similar rating business that advertisers would utilize to see where they wanted to put their advertising dollars.
Right.
And I forget what it was called, started with a C. But so they were tracking the rating. Now, at the time on radio, at that time, 1938, and that was around, I think it was around midnight, but Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen, that was the most popular radio show on any station in the country. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was playing opposite War of the Worlds. On another channel, Don Ameche was playing, Don Ameche again, was, he was doing some soap radio. I don't think it was the Bickersons. And so the tracking shows that most people were actually watching Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen.
Right.
They weren't watching Mercury Theater.
Right.
So for millions of people to be running out into the streets, it just logically doesn't figure.
Right.
So
my grandmother did say that when they first were listening to it, though, they thought it was true when it was happening. Yes.
Absolutely. But then some people of your grandmother's generation, my grandmother's generation, some people channel surfed like we
did. Right.
And so, you know, some of them got into War of the Worlds because Orson gave a disclaimer right up front. You know, this isn't true. It's Halloween, so forth. But a lot of people missed that because they were channel surfing. So they would come in, say, in the middle when people were saying, oh, New York has fallen.
Right.
And
they're
like, what?
New York's been attacked.
What?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm in New Jersey.
Movie,
oh, my God. We better leave. And
the movie was really good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, but it wasn't millions of people, I don't think. But, yeah, I love doing that one because we use a lot of special effects, a lot of sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
And it was early on when we were still quite technically challenged. And so, it was interesting. It was really interesting.
I watched it, and it was great. I watched it before you came on, and I enjoyed what I watched. And
there are so many other
I don't want to say movies, but scripts that you guys have done. The Hitchhiker, The Life of Riley, Our Miss Brooks, Father Knows Best. I mean, Beauty and the Beast. I mean, that's pretty current, yeah? And Gunsmoke.
Beauty and the Beast actually goes back to the 1400s or 1500s, I forget which. Because we went back to the original. Beauty and the Beast. There's the Disney Beauty and the Beast, but the Disney Beauty and the Beast came from a very long line of other iterations going back to the original fairy tale back in the 14 or the 15 or 1600s, something. Been done and done and done and done and done. It's a very legendary piece.
Yeah.
And I forget what else we've done. We've done 10 shows. That was fun. Dragnet, really fun.
Gunsmoke, The Bad Man, The Bickersons, which we mentioned before. And not only did you produce them, but you've also star in some of them and have a role in some of them. And you guys all take different parts and sometimes do repeat parts as well, right?
Yeah, sometimes we play four or five roles in a show.
Yeah, wow.
Because there's not that many of us. And then we take turns directing. You know, I directed The Bickersons. I directed War of the Worlds. I forget what else. I think Father Knows Best. I'm not sure. But we take turns, and then some of us edit, some of us don't. Some of us do special effects, sound effects. You know, we're a pretty versatile group of people and not a very big group of people. But Michael and I produce all of them, Michael Carnegie. Mm. And so we have that responsibility. And so that, but it's a huge amount of work, huge amount.
Right.
But we really, really enjoy it. And we, you know, another a very nice thing is we do it to raise money for the Motion Picture and Television Fund, which is mm-hmm. our major charity in the entertainment industry, I'm sure you know. And they are having a very hard time since the pandemic.
Right.
And so we jumped in and said, okay, we're going to raise some money. And that's what we don't make any money on it. We just every dime goes straight to the fund, which is what we wanted to do.
And you guys,
I'm really happy.
Yeah. And if you guys are interested in donating, you go to www.mptf.com/donate. And you're supporting the Motion Picture and Television Fund. And all your productions benefit the Motion Picture and Television Fund, which is beautiful. And if you guys are interested in checking out the titles that we mentioned before, you can go to their program list at www.thehollywoodradioplayers.com/shows. And if you want to go check it out on YouTube, it's hollywoodplayers.com. And you do it once a month. Is there a specific date you release them, Lee? Or it's just whenever they're ready, you just release them to YouTube?
Whenever they're ready. I mean,
nice.
This one is ready. The Bickersons, we're releasing that on Friday, this Friday.
Mm.
And so people will be able to go, like you said, either to the YouTube channel, Hollywood Radio Players, or HollywoodRadioPlayers.com, our website, or MPTF.com, because they link to it as well.
Oh, great.
And then there's also in our shows, there's a link to a donate link that goes straight to the fund.
Nice.
But people can see them and not donate, but if they can donate, it's a great thing.
Of course. Yes, if you guys can donate, please do. You can, like she said, you can watch it. You don't have to donate, but it would be a nice thing.
No, you don't. Yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
We'll be mad at you, we promise.
Not at all, right?
You don't donate. We'll just track you down, you know.
Exactly. Now, I believe Tom Bergeron has done a few of the hosting, or does he do all of them, or just one or two here or there? And now you've got a new host who's going to be coming up.
Tom hosted our first 7.
Oh, wow.
And then he had to go off, poor guy, and work on a movie with William Shatner.
And then we got really lucky. No,
I know. He's great. They're both great.
I know. I'm playing.
Okay. Then we got really lucky, and we got Lisa Gibbons.
Nice.
And so
I like
she's,
her.
Oh, I love her. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's caring. She's kind. She's just the whole thing. And so she's our new host. And she has hosted the most recent 2 and will continue on with us.
Nice. And upcoming, I believe, is Casablanca, Our Town, and the Maltese Falcon, yeah?
Down the line. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Yeah.
Right away is the Bickersons.
Do you have to get permission to do these or no?
No. No, we only do shows that are in the public domain.
I gotcha. Yep. So the
Casablanca is going to. Sorry.
You were mentioning the Bickersons, and I cut you off. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's all right. That's just our next show, and that's the one that we'll be dropping on Friday.
Right.
And that's a comedy, and as we discussed,
then
we have 10 shows in the pipeline that we are in various stages of working on. We'll be filming Casablanca over the next few months. It takes us 2 or 3 months to do each show. They're not fast. We've tried to speed up the process, and we can't. So Casablanca is on the list, and that's going to be great. And we have a wonderful costumer who is new to us, and he's very excited to do Casablanca because he's a big history buff, film history buff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're excited to do it because small world. But Casablanca is really an interesting story because when it was coming out, 80 years ago. This year is the 80th anniversary, if you can believe it.
No, I didn't realize that. Wow.
It's the 80th anniversary, and Warner, and back in the day, when a new movie was coming out, the studios, because remember, no internet. There was no internet.
Yeah, right.
So what the studios would do would be they would have the actors in the film read the script as a radio play on radio. And that was their way of promoting. And they'd say, now from Warner Brothers, Casablanca. But Humphrey Bogart refused to do it. And consequently, so did Ingmar Bergman. So did Paul Henreid. And so they got Alan Ladd and some other fine actors to read the full-length version to promote the movie that they were not in. And but studios controlled the actors then, and so they did it, right? But Humphrey Bogart was so big, he could say no.
Right.
And he said, what I will do is I will, because he didn't want to give the whole movie away. He thought that was wrong. And I agree with him. So he said he would do an abridged version. And so because he said he would, Ingmar Bergman did, and so did Paul Henreid and the whole rest of the cast. So they did a 30-minute version for advertising the film. And so we are using that script. We're not doing an hour and a half because it's impossible. We're doing that 30-minute version that was approved by Humphrey Bogart. And and here's the interesting full circle. They did it. They did that abridged version not only to promote the upcoming film, Casablanca, but because they were raising money for the Motion Picture and Television Fund.
Look at that.
Which is the same thing we're doing 80 years later. At that time, it wasn't called the Motion Picture and Television Fund. It was a different title. I forget what it was. But so it's a full circle, right?
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing it, for those two reasons, for the artistry of it, but then also because, hey, Humphrey Bogart raised money for the fund 80 years ago. We are raising money for the fund with the same script.
Right. Oh, my God. Like you said, full circle for sure.
Gave me chills.
Did you ever envision yourself being involved in something like this? I mean, you've been in so many different movies, TV, and commercials and everything, and now it's back to where the entertainment industry somewhat started, you know, doing radio. So did you ever think, and especially working with the technology, did you ever think you'd be doing that? My God.
Well, you know, no, not in that way. However, I have always done live performances. And years ago, I was with a group, which I directed and co-produced, and called the Green River Ropen and Reciton Preservation Society Players. Try to say that. And we performed live. We were a group of Western fans, and we were all horse people.
Right.
And we loved authentic Western music from the 1800s and poetry from the 1800s, not country and Western, the authentic stuff from right after the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a wonderful group that performed that, strangely enough, at the exact same place, the Autry Museum Wells Fargo Theater, that we perform Hollywood Radio Players, we perform that under a different name. We don't perform Hollywood Radio Players. There's a technical reason for that. But same place. So it was really deja vu for me to start performing classic radio plays there when I performed there years before doing the Western artists. And so I've always kind of done, along with TVs and movies and film and stage, I've always kind of done this other thing, you know, on the side. But certainly not technical like this.
I was wondering how you taught yourself how to do the Zooms and the editing and all that. I mean, director and producer is one thing, but editing, like you said earlier, editing in a movie or whatever, one scene could take days to edit, you know?
I know how to edit. I studied film and I did short films and I actually learned how to physically edit, physically cut and paste film.
Wow.
I know how to do that. Nobody does it anymore, but
right.
You know, I know how to do it. But doing this, my partner Michael Carnegie, he is a genius. He's a genius editor. He's a genius with technology. So most of the editing, I mean, some of our other people have edited, but now Michael does it all.
Right.
So he is amazing. He's just got one of those kind of minds that he can just do that. Because like I said earlier, editing on Zoom is vastly different from editing film and television, which I can edit, but I don't edit digitally, so you know, forget it. It's a lost technology.
Mm-hmm.
But he is really amazing, and so we pass it back and forth. He'll pass it to me, and I'll look at it, and I'll, you know, I know how to do time codes and things like that, and so I'll make all my notes and do the time codes, and you know, on 0.67, you know, there's a glitch, and you know, we got to fix that, and then there's
right.
a we need to put another laugh in there. So I'm good at that. But he's
yeah.
really good at, like, doing it, actually delivering it. You know, I'm good at saying up what I want, and he's good at doing that.
Nice.
And then we have a couple other people in the group who are also good. But really, Michael is the best, and he has
yeah.
He's taken it over now. And because we have done another transition. So in our episode one, which is episode 10, but episode one of season two. So, but the technical stuff, you know, directing is directing. And are you still there?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, I just hearing clicking. I thought, uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Because sometimes I live in the mountains, and sometimes I just lose people. They just go away.
Well, we lost you earlier, so.
Yeah, yes, yes, but we're okay right now. So if you know how to edit one thing, you know how to edit another thing. The technology may be utterly different, but the theory of editing and I'm sorry, of directing and directing actors is the same. So that's something that I'm learning as I go, and that I did study in film school, and have always wanted to take that further. So I'm really happy that I have given myself this opportunity, you know, to do that.
Right.
And the producing I had done before. And then I also write everything. I write everything except for, of course, the plays themselves. But I write all the extraneous stuff, all the intros. You know, I write all of that. And it's pretty simple. It's not hard.
So what do you prefer, Lee? I mean, you've been in the industry for a very long time. What do you prefer to do more of? What's your love, acting or behind the scenes?
You know, I just like it all. I really can't say I like this or that. You know, I like it all.
Right.
It's great to be producing a show because, you know, we just get to do what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really refreshing.
Right.
You know, you want to do this show? I don't know. You want to do that show? And that's really a nice change because normally as an actress, you know, you're really you know, whatever people want to hire you for. And
exactly. And
there's not a lot of things I want to do anymore.
Right.
You know, it has to be something that I really want to do. Because
right.
it's hard getting up at 3 in the morning and, you know, and going to work in the dark and being there for 14, 15 hours. And
yeah, it's
so it's a lot, you know. So and I've done it since I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
So I really, it's got to be something you know, for me to take a job, it's got to be something I really like. I got to like the script. I got to like the role. I got to like the people involved. You know, I'm to a point where I don't really have to do it.
Right.
If I don't want to. So, and that's great. Well, when we've been doing it for many decades, you better get to that point. So,
I know.
So I love this and I love that. I love both.
Well, you worked with so many of the classic Hollywood leading men. I mean, my God, we'll never see actors like that again in our lives. You know, it's crazy. Like these actors today won't have the longevity that like Rock Hudson and Burt Lancaster and all those guys had, and even the women of that era, you know, that it's like a flash in the pan to me. I don't think they're going to be so big like 40, 50 years down the line, like how we still remember our great classic actors and movies that we used to watch. That's just a weird thing that just came into me. Sorry.
Well, I don't disagree with you, although I do think, I mean, like, you know, I've also worked with contemporary actors, not just
yes.
people from long ago.
Right.
And
yes.
I never had the good fortune to work with Burt Lancaster. I wish I had.
No,
but
I love him.
Before my time, you know. But, you know, I worked with Chadwick Boseman. And,
yeah.
And there's a guy who, if he hadn't, you know, tragically died from cancer, I really think he had another 50 years in him. He was that good.
Oh, he was really good. Yeah, he's a great actor.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. And
yeah.
I think there are people like that today that, you know, Tom Cruise, my God, he's 60 years old and he's jumping off cliffs.
I know.
And he's still doing, and I can't wait to see his newest movie. And, you know, he certainly has longevity.
Yeah, there's
There's a handful, yeah. Steve McQueen, if he had lived, he was my mentor and, you know, gave me my first.
I want to ask you about him. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, I think that if he had lived, he died very young. He died at 50.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that if he had lived, he would have had the career that Clint Eastwood has. You know, he would have just kept going. And he would have directed, and, you know, he was already producing, and he would have done God knows how many fabulous movies, because he was really smart. He had impeccable taste. He knew what people wanted. And he was brilliant, just brilliant. In so many different levels, he was brilliant.
I love
and, but, you know,
that
he's
movie.
On,
what was that movie he was in? Oh, God. Oh, man.
Papillon?
No,
was it Papillon?
No, it's a really cute movie too. It's not supposed to be, but it is. The one where he's Germany and he's gets away on a motorcycle. Oh, what's the name of that?
Are you talking about The Getaway?
No.
Are you talking about Bullet?
No, I can't think of it. Oh my God.
I'm sorry. And who else was in it?
Oh God. It's escaping my tongue. Lee Marvin, Steve McQueen. Who else was in that? Oh, man.
Oh, you mean The Magnificent Seven?
That's it. Oh, one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
That is a brilliant. And also Charlie Bronson was in that, whom I also worked
yes,
with.
Yes, Charles Bronson, too. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
I love the movie. Love that one.
I mean, that movie. It stands the test of time.
Yeah.
If people have not seen The Magnificent Seven,
they need to.
Please, you must see it because it is so brilliant. Those seven guys just ripped the screen up. I mean, it is just amazing.
It was a great film.
Great film. But there are wonderful people working now. There are.
What do you think, you've probably been asked this a million times, what do you think, why do you think Steve McQueen took such a liking to you?
I have been asked that a million times.
I bet you
for
have.
For sure, and I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all, actually, because
no,
I'm the only person. Oh, yeah. It was, he changed my life. I mean, I'm the only person he ever mentored. And, you know, that is like,
that's an honor.
Really,
yeah.
It's just a badge of honor, and
absolutely.
Yeah, and when you're in the middle of the storm, you know, you don't really know what's going on. I really didn't get it until later, because I met him, and I mean, I had five auditions. I met him on sometime around the third audition, but it wasn't an audition. I got a call on a. They went through a culling process of 500 actresses for that Adam at 6 a.m. And it went on for months. And so I think I had done the third audition or was about to. I can't quite remember. And then I get a call on a Saturday morning when I'm gardening and digging in the dirt. And I get a call because I didn't live that far from his office. And And I get a call saying, you need to come over. And I said, okay, I'll take a shower. No, you need to come over now. You have 10 minutes to get here. And I'm like, what? And I thought, oh, they just want me to come over and pick up some more pages, some more sides for the you know, sides or what you read. I don't know what it's called, sides.
Yeah, another reread,
pages.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
reread. And, you know, pick up part of it for the next audition. That's what I thought. I was just going to go over there. And I thought, you know, okay, I'll just jump in my car and I'll just go. And I was literally sweaty, dirty, dirt under my fingernails, stringy, greasy hair, you know, and not an attractive sight. But I thought, I'm just going to run into the office. They're going to leave the sides for me at the desk. And I'm going to grab those sides and run out. Nobody will ever see me.
Mm.
So I zoom over there in my old beater car. And then I run up the stairs and I open the door. And there's Steve McQueen.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, hi.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and he said, hi, I'm Steve. And I said,
I know.
And I'm Lee. I'm Lee. And he said, yeah, I know. And he said, come on in, let's talk. And I said, you know, I'm really kind of messy. He said, oh, I don't care. And he was like, you know, wearing like, I don't know, like old jeans and a baggy sweatshirt, you know. It was Saturday morning, and we just talked for like 3 hours.
Nice.
And I was really aware that this was a test, but I was real relaxed because he was really relaxed.
Yeah.
And he was so kind and funny and easygoing and down to earth, you know. And I think. I think there's a lot of things that have been written about what he's said about me. I'm in books that he, you know, things that he has said and that he felt like I was really honest because I was really honest. And, but then I think also we talked about motorcycles because I rode a motorcycle and he, of course, loved motorcycles and I like fast cars. I couldn't afford one, but I wanted one and I drove fast cars when I could. And, he loved fast cars. He was a race car driver. And we talked about everything, you know, race cars and motorcycles, and strangely enough, we ended up having a very similar background, not logically, but emotionally.
Mm.
We had a very similar background, and I think we really kind of bonded over that.
Mm.
And we both lost our fathers at an early age, and we.
Mm.
Had some rough times, and I think we kind of bonded over that. And then the fact that I was just totally honest with him and about everything. And we talked, you know, I had never done a film. I had done one line in a TV show and a couple of commercials and modeled, but I had studied my you-know-what off trying to become a really good actress. And he loved that because he had studied really hard.
Right.
And so we could compare acting notes. But then, you know, he didn't give me the job right then. I had to do another audition. And then after that, and got down to five girls out of 500.
From 500,
Yeah, from 500 to five. And then it got down to the screen test for five of us. And I did screen tests with, you know, four of the girls and one of whom I knew. And then I got the job, and it changed my life. And they hadn't hired the male lead, so then I got to go through the whole casting process with all the young actors who were auditioning for it. Went through that, and then one day I was in the office all the time after that because Steve would have me come in and work out because he thought I was too skinny, and he wanted me to look more Midwestern, and because I was really very skinny, model skinny. And he wanted me to eat a lot and gain weight but not get fat. And so he would work. We would work out together. He would teach me things. And we would just talk. And he would teach me, like, this is how you behave on a set. And this is what you do. And don't do this and do that. And it was really an amazing experience. And then one day he said.
Absolutely.
Oh, it was amazing. And then one day he said, okay, we have the role of Adam. We cast it. And then I said, who is it? And he said, that's really funny. He said, it's Kirk Douglas' son.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
And I said, oh, what's his name?
Yeah.
And he said, Michael. I said, great. When do I get to meet him? Oh, you're going to meet him soon because you're going to start doing, you know, read-throughs of the script. And so probably the first time in history, just about, that the female was cast before the male. And then it was certainly the one and only last time, I'm sure, that a female was cast before Michael was.
Was that casting for him before the Streets of San Francisco? Or during or after?
After.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, wait.
Well, if you didn't know who it was.
No, Streets of San Francisco came after.
Okay.
He had done two films. I don't remember the names of those. Two small films. And then he did Adam. And then I think he got cast in Streets. And strangely enough, I did Streets, but not with Michael. I did it after he left Streets. I did it with Richard Hatch, who replaced Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, kind of like the Hollywood carousel, you know, musical chairs, you know. So anyway, it was just great. The movie was not a big hit, but it was not a total flop, but it was not a big hit.
But
it opened all these doors for me.
Yep, look what you got out of it.
It opened.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, huge.
Yep. Made you the actress you are today and have been throughout the years, a great actress.
Well, thank you.
You learned from the best, that's for sure.
I'm always grateful. I'm always very, very grateful to Steve. I think about him a lot, and I think about what he did for me and what kind of guy he was. And I wish he would have lived longer. I would have liked to have known him longer.
Right.
Soon after that, I moved to Europe. And
really?
Then I lived in London. And then he was off doing Le Mans and later. And so our paths, you know, kind of went their separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time I moved back, I'm like, oh, I need to call Steve. And then he was ill.
Man.
And so, you know, it was a really sad thing.
Yeah, yeah. I watched, I saw the... Oh God! Behind the what channel is it? Reels. They did his autopsy, and you know they said, "Have you ever watched the autopsies on Reels? They're not gory. It just tells you the story of the person's life, what they were living like before, and what happened."
No, I could not watch a story about my friend's autopsy. No.
No, that's why I didn't think you saw it. I'm just telling you, it's not a gory thing. It's not a gory show. It just tells you, you know, what he had, and it was going to Mexico to see if he could get better and all that. You know, it's not a gory show at all. But yeah, I could see. So
yeah,
I probably couldn't watch it. No,
yeah.
Especially, you know, since you know him so well. But just an amazing, amazing story how your life got started with him, and everything kind of blew up after that, right? Pretty much.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it took a while, but yeah, it opened doors.
Yeah.
It just totally opened doors because it was like the Pope, you know, giving you a blessing. And it was like, oh yeah, that's the girl that, you know, Steve McQueen mentored and introduced to the press. And so it opened doors from not like I got, you know, a lot of movies with no audition, but it did open the doors where people actually noticed me because I was nobody. Just nobody.
Well,
and then suddenly a little bit of a name suddenly.
Right.
And
Steve McQueen says she's good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And
right.
It was like, wow. So what he did for me, I'm always grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've been grateful in so many other ways, helping people yourself in other ways too. So two questions for you, and then we'll get back to – we'll let everybody know about the Hollywood Players again, radio players. I heard that you were suspended from college before you went to California. Is that true?
It's a very painful topic.
I'm
going
to ask you why. I thought maybe it was funny why you got suspended.
It's not funny. It's actually truly horrible.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Very briefly.
I didn't know.
Yeah, no, I wish that people wouldn't – you know, hijack my Wikipedia.
I'm so sorry. No.
I'm sorry. I understand. No, people expect to have some. No, it's okay. People, I understand. This is not the first time this has happened. You know, people expect to go, oh, yeah, because I was dancing on tables down at, you know, the local bar. You know, no, it was a horrible thing.
Okay, well, we don't have to talk about it then. I apologize, Lee.
Okay,
please.
That would be
we
better.
Don't have
no,
to, yes, absolutely.
No need to apologize, Joanne.
Let's no, please. I definitely don't want to make you uncomfortable by any means. Because
oh, no,
I'm
it's
enjoying,
okay.
I'm hanging on my edge of my seat listening to your stories here. I'm quiet. That's why I'm enjoying everything you're telling me. So real quick, guys, if you want, once a month they put a new show out, go to HollywoodPlayers.com on YouTube. You get the program listing of what's coming up and what is already there. And they're free, right, Lee? They can watch them for free. Donate would be nice because they can see it for free.
Yeah, they can watch them for free. And then there's a donation link. And any amount, I mean any amount, will help. And now, of course, we might be having a big strike. We'll know tonight at midnight if my union strikes. And WGA has been striking for over 2 months, and I don't know what's going to happen. I'm a union activist. You think I would know, but I don't, because I'm not in those rooms. My friends are in those rooms, in the negotiating rooms, but that's not my area that I work on at the union, and it's all volunteers. So we'll know, so probably the need, if we do strike, will be once again exponentially greater. And as it was during the length of the pandemic. So any amount is greatly, enormously appreciated to the Motion Picture and Television Fund.
Yep. And if, again, you could go to the program list at www.thehollywoodradioplayers.com/shows. And the link is there to donate as well. It's www.mptf.com for the Motion Picture and Television Fund. And coming up is going to be Casablanca. Casablanca, listen to me, Casablanca, Our Town, and the Maltese. You can even hear my New Jersey come out there, huh? And the Maltese Falcon. Yeah, sometimes it's hard for me to get rid of my accent. I know you honed in and tuned yourself to get rid of your Southern accent. So it's
I never had
done.
A Southern accent. I had a conglomerate accent, Southern part. Because we moved so much, right?
Yeah.
But speaking of Maltese Falcon, Tom Berenger, who did it live with us, seems like 100 years ago, but it wasn't. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. But he's going to be reprising his role as Sam Spade in the Maltese Falcon with us.
Very nice.
And which is really fun, really fun. And we joke that he's going to borrow Michael's hat. Because Michael has a collection of fedora hats, and all of us seem to have these vast collections of costumes. But now we have this fabulous costumer, Sean LeBlanc, and so now we don't even need our own stuff anymore, which is really nice.
Yeah, wow. And it must be really, I mean, especially in the beginning, it must have been so difficult, like you said, with people here in one state, the other state, and put it all together and making it work. But I did watch your War of the Worlds, and it was excellent. And I hope I can
thank
see
you,
a few more.
You.
Yes, but guys, go check it out. HollywoodRadioPlayers.com. And go see what's out there. And if you're looking for that old feel of sitting around the radio, listen to stories, and that's the way everybody got their entertainment at one time. And God only knows what we have now with everything, with the technology. But if you ever want to do a flashback in time and check out the Hollywood Radio Players at HollywoodRadioPlayers.com. Lee, I cannot thank you enough for hanging out with me. It was such a pleasure speaking with you. I loved your stories, and I can't wait to watch more of these.
Please, please watch more of them. And also, we call it Radio You Can See, because you can see us. You know, it's video and it's audio. And what's really been interesting to us and very gratifying is that a lot of really young people, I'm talking 5, 6 years old, they love these shows. And when you think about it, it kind of makes sense, because they have, you know, they were born with a screen in their hand. And so ours is a screen. So they adapt very well to watching our shows. So if you have children, young people, teenagers, they get to watch it, and, they love screens, and there we are on a screen anywhere in the world.
Have
so we
have
really
you ever,
do appreciate.
I'm curious, have you thought about doing any educational Zooms stories, to gear towards the kids as well?
Well, you know what? That's a really good idea. I'm going to put that in the hopper.
Maybe
and,
like a
history
or something, something that took place in history. I think that would go really good with the kids.
I think that's a very unique and interesting idea. And I will give that some thought. We have a number of things that we're going to be expanding into because Michael and I have our own production company. We can do anything we want. And I think the next up is going to be our podcast.
Yeah.
And that we're very excited about. So we're hoping to do that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, sometime in the next year. We're hoping to do that.
You'll definitely get it done. You are a doer. You're definitely a doer, so I know you're going to get it done. There's no stopping you.
I have too much energy.
Sure. There's no stopping you. Oh, my goodness.
No,
one more time.
Not, but...
No, thank God, right? Thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
Yep. Once again, we could go to HollywoodPlayers.com or you could go to...
It's Hollywood Radio
Hollywood...
Players.
Yep,
Hollywood Radio Hollywood. Players.
Yeah, I missed it. The HollywoodRadioPlayers.com.
Okay.
Or the HollywoodRadioPlayers.com/shows and get all the it's all on the same thing. It's on the same thing. And also when you donate, there's a link at the HollywoodRadioPlayers.com for MPTF, which is the Motion Picture and Television Fund. And if you can donate, please do. Oh, my goodness. Lee, thank you again. It was a pleasure. I can't wait to check out some more of these. And please come back anytime. We'd love to have you back.
Oh, it was great fun. I really appreciate it. And they can also look at my own website, LeePurcell.com, which deals with the rest of my career. So thank you, Joanne, for having me as a guest. It was a lot of fun. And I hope to talk to you again in the future.
No, me too. Thank you so much. Everybody, Lee Purcell. Thank you, Lee. Have a good night.
Take care,
everybody. And we'll definitely make sure we tell everybody to check out Hollywood Radio Players again. I promise.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Okay, everybody,
take
have
care.
A good
have
evening.
Have a lovely evening. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you
Lee
so
Purcell,
much.
Everybody.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. Oh, my goodness. I'm so thirsty. I don't know if you could hear that when I was talking, but anyway, Lee has done, I can't even tell you what she's done because who hasn't she worked with? What hasn't she done? Put it that way. And that's like so many different things she's been involved in, movies, TV, commercials, writing, directing, producing. And if you love the old time feel of, it's something that I don't think many people do today, but it's you're listening to podcasts, which is something similar to the old days of sitting around a radio and listening to the stories. And but these are taking you back in time to HollywoodRadioPlayers.com and check out The War of the Worlds. I just watched that one before she came on, and it was really good. It was done very well. And like she said, they did use the sound effects and everything, and so many more other titles. The Hitchhiker, The Life of Riley, Our Miss Brooks, Father Knows Best, Beauty and the Beast, Gunsmoke, Dragnet, The Bad Man, The Bickersons, and what they're working on now, Casablanca, Our Town and the Maltese Falcon, and Tom Bergeron was doing he was the previous host, and Lisa Gibbons will be doing the hosting, and so that's going to be nice. I love Lisa, and as she mentioned, Tom Bergeron will be around doing the Maltese Falcon, but I think he's acting in it, not being the host. So anyway, that was great. Thank you, Lee Purcell. So listen, tomorrow, stick around. You want to stick around tomorrow on the 13th when we have, oh my goodness, country rap artist Livvy D. And that's at 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have some new music from her. And I'm country rap. It's new to me too, guys. New to me. So, but it's pretty good. I listened to it. It's pretty good. We're going to hang out with Livvy. And then on the 16th, we're going to have Michelle Palmieri back. Everybody wants her back, so we're going to have her back. She's going to be doing free psychic readings for you guys. And on the 19th, we've got 15-year-old rocker Serafina Sanan. I think I'm saying it right, Sanan. So anyway, Livvy and Serafina are up and coming and killing it right now on online. And the kids are loving them. And one of the songs is considered a hit for the summer. So That's going to be great to have them on. So anyway, yeah, we're having a good time. I had a very nice time with Lee. Thank you so much. It was a great story. I loved it. And we'll be back tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern with country rap star Libby D. So we're going to close out with, folks. Let's see what we could close out with. I don't know. I'm thinking if I play one, let's do this. This is Bo Donaldson in the Haywood, Sky High. Lee Purcell, thank you so much. The HollywoodRadioPlayers.com. Go check it out. Have a good time. We'll see you tomorrow with Livy D, 9 p.m. Eastern on July 13th. Have a good night, and thanks for hanging out with me. I appreciate it because you could have been doing something else, but you're hanging out with me. That's pretty cool. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye. This one's good. Bo Donaldson, the Haywoods again. Every time I listen to this stuff, it just puts me in a great mood. So I got to play it. Take care. Lee Purcell, the HollywoodRadioPlayers.com. Thank you so much, everybody. Take care.